And a very pleasant good morning. Welcome into the MRMC Doctor's Office program today on Quicks and Quicks FM. And this morning, we're pleased to be joined by Trent Link, who is nurse practitioner in Salisbury. And Trent, how are you doing this morning?
Very good. How are you?
Wonderful. Hey, is it staying busy for you this time of year?
Well, it's going to be picking up. I'm very sure of it.
All right. Hey, we're here to talk about a number of things, including the flu shot and the flu mist, what or what not's going to be available and whether they're good for folks. But let's talk about you, first of all. What got you interested in medicine to begin with?
Well, I just I kind of like to help people. That's just been my nature. And I've always been very interested in medicine, in the human body, and just all of its functions, pathophysiology, all of that. It's been very, very fascinating. So I guess that's just kind of what led me down that path. That's where I'm at.
Okay, so how about your background? What all have you done?
Well, I've been in emergency medicine for the last 18 years. I worked primarily as an emergency room nurse. I did some flight nursing. I worked for AeroVac, number 60 out of Sedalia, Missouri. Got to give a shout out to them guys. did that for 3 years. Finally went back to school and obtained my nurse practitioner. And I've been a nurse practitioner for the past 2 years, working at actually Fitzgibbon Hospital in Marshall, Missouri, in the emergency room. And then I recently just now took a position here with the Sheraton Valley Family Medicine here in Salisbury, and I'm in primary care practice now.
Okay, I know because of HIPAA, there are certain things you can't say, but how about emergency medicine? Was that something new every day or every hour?
That was. It certainly was. It was something that, you know, you just never knew what was walking through the door. And I think that was something that that kind of made it very interesting for me, is that you just never knew what you were going to get that day. Every day was a new day.
All right. I got to ask you this, and I like to ask every doctor or nurse practitioner or healthcare professional we have on. My daughter's 17, wants to become either a nurse practitioner like you or some other type of medical professional. And her favorite TV series, besides Emergency, and you're way too young to remember that one, would be Untold Stories of the ER. How realistic are our programs like that?
I think those that are on, like, your anything with like a Discovery Channel or something like that, they're much more realistic. You know, the ones that are more drama driven, as far as, you know, all of that, that they're, you know, they do have some, you know, medical consultation and whatnot. But I think the ones that are more geared towards the Discovery Channels and you know, those Untold Stories of the ER, you know, those are pretty fairly accurate.
All right. How about as far as the medical profession, what's so rewarding for you about it, Trent?
You know, I've never really looked at it as in that aspect as, you know, I don't do it for any type of recognition. I do it more just, you know, like I say, to help people. I don't look for a major, you know, huge, you know, reward or anything like that at the end of the day. It's just, you know, a simple thank you, and then that's all I ever want.
Okay, well, and I can tell this story because it's about my daughter, so I'm not violating HIPAA. She's a little person. By the way, October is Dwarfism Awareness Month. She's got a VP shunt and has had to have that replaced several times, and that's an immediate relief, so you can see the fruits of your work at that point. How rewarding is it for you when you can treat someone and all of a sudden everything seems to be working out well?
That is kind of, you know, like I say, it goes back to, it's just kind of a, you know, it's not really a thank you, but it is a thank you in the same aspect. It, you get to see a certain change in a certain, you know, you do affect people's lives in medicine. And, you know, I guess in a way that has to be your, you know, the unsaid thank you, is that, you know, you see a positive change in someone or positive treatment, And that's, like I say, the unsaid thank you.
Trent, do you like the challenges of being in the medical profession, too, where something walks through the door and maybe you're not sure or the first thing doesn't work and you get to continue to research until you find out what's going on?
Absolutely. I think that's what you know, that's very the fascinating part. You know, you always, with this, it's always, you constantly learn, you know. You never stop learning. I try to learn something new every day. And I think that is, I think that's what makes it, you know, even better.
Is the medical profession almost getting to the point, too, where nurse practitioners are going to be doing a lot of the primary care?
I believe so. You know, however, I don't think that we're going to totally replace, you know, physicians. You know, I don't see us as that. I see us as more of, more of an assistant, you know. We're filling in, you know, kind of that shortage of primary care, if you will.
All right, so what exactly, for someone who's hearing nurse practitioner for the first time, what all can you do, what can't you do?
You know, I cannot, you know, prescribe, you know, certain medications, like a lot of the controlled substance medications. You know, I do have to collaborate very closely with my primary care physician, but I can, you know, I can still, you know, diagnose and treat based upon, you know, assessment, symptoms, and diagnostic results. But like I say, I have to, you know, still have to answer at the end of the day to my doctor.
Yeah, who all do you work with as far as that physician goes?
Right now, I'm working with Dr. Terry Thrasher.
Known him for years and years and years, and I'm significantly older than he is.
Yeah, I hear he's the cowboy doctor, so.
You said that, not me, so let's get that clear. All right, hey, one of the big reasons we want to talk to you today, we're going to be 85 degrees today. By the time we get to Thursday, we're going to be looking at Thursday we're going to be looking at 68. Are we getting closer to the flu season?
Yes, we are. We've actually had some positive flu cases already so far this year.
All right, so how do we diagnose a positive flu?
Actually, there's a couple of ways. You know, with the flu, I base it upon, you know, the symptoms. And can I go over flu symptoms?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Flu symptoms are not typically what you would consider. A lot of people, when they come in, they think the flu is all this vomiting and diarrhea. The flu is actually a respiratory virus. The main symptom of the flu is a high fever, usually greater than 100.4, with severe chills, and you usually have one of the following. You either have a cough, a sore throat, headaches, body aches, fatigue, runny and stuffy nose. And it's usually a very, very sudden onset. Like, you go to bed and wake up with all of these symptoms.
And you got hit by a Mack truck in the middle of the night.
Yes, you got hit by the Mack truck, exactly. A cold, the common cold, is much more gradual. It just kind of, you know, you start with a stuffy nose, and then it just kind of evolves. Whereas the flu, it's very, very sudden. And if you, you know, if you do happen to present with those symptoms, we do consider you, you know, at a higher risk for flu. So we can do a rapid influenza test. It's a swab. It is not a pleasant test. It goes into the nose. And like I say, it's not very pleasant, but it will, it does detect, you know, the flu. The sensitivity of the test, you know, it sometimes isn't what it should be. If you've had symptoms for more than 4 days, you know, the sensitivity of that test saying it's positive or negative, it may not be that accurate, if that makes sense.
All right. We've always, sir, I'm 52, Trent, and growing up, Mom always said something, well, you got this 24-hour bug. Is there any truth to that whole thing?
There are some viruses, yes, that last just a brief time. The flu is totally different. The flu, you know, you're going to be sick for, you know, several, you know, it may be up to 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, funny, really funny you mentioned that, but not funny. I got a call from my daughter-in-law last night who lives in Indiana, and she said, something hit me Saturday morning, and I haven't been able to get out of bed ever since then.
Yes.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes, that sounds very familiar with the flu, yes.
All right, so what can you do about it?
Well, if you do suspect you have the flu, my first thing is... Don't, you know, this is my background from emergency medicine. Don't run to the emergency room. Pick up the phone, call your primary care provider. Because chances are if you go to the emergency room, you're going to expose yourself to a lot of patients who probably do have the flu. Even if you don't have it, you're going to end up leaving the ER with it. So pick up the phone, call primary care. We can do some, you know, we can do the rapid test. If your symptoms fit, a lot of the times when I get into peak flu season, if your symptoms fit, we're just going to, you know, bypass testing you and start you. We can start you on what was called Tamiflu, and that usually has to be started within about 48 hours of symptom onset. It works better that way. If it's been beyond, you know, about 72 hours, it's probably not going to benefit you much at all. The other thing that you can do to prevent from getting the flu, of course, you've probably heard it and probably seen it in the pharmacies and whatnot here about this time of year, is the flu vaccine.
All right. Good idea, bad idea for everyone, some people. How does that work?
Well, I recommend... the flu vaccine, it is recommended, especially by the CDC, for all persons aged greater than 6 months that do not have any contraindications to getting a flu vaccine. The flu vaccine, there is some, a little bit of, on the CDC website, that would be a great place to go if you want to research, the flu vaccine a little bit more and see if, you know, we are in the age of the internet and everybody wanting to be informed.
And that's good and bad from a healthcare professional standpoint, isn't it?
And that's why I'm referring all of your listeners to the CDC website. It is a great website.
All right. So what will the flu vaccine do or not do? Because I know there are myths out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of the myths, I hear it all the time. Well, the flu vaccine, it just made me sick, you know. And, you know, I think that that's just what happens is, you know, you get the shot and it's just bad timing. You know, you end up picking up some bug or something after you get the shot. The flu vaccine, you know, should prevent you from getting the flu. It won't actually. There's no guarantee with it that you won't get the flu, but it really improves your chances of not getting the flu. Let me add that the CDC also recommends that, you know, there are certain high-risk patients that should definitely be considered for the flu vaccine. There are children less than 2 years of age, adults 65 and older. Anybody that has multiple medical problems, such as diabetes, asthma, cancer, if you're pregnant, definitely, and if you're elderly and in a nursing home.
Yeah, let me throw one other group at you, and I don't know if this would fall into this or not, but this has to do with my brother-in-law who lives in New York. He doesn't have a spleen. Oh. So would that be a good group to target too?
Yes. Yes. Definitely. Definitely.
Because right. your immune system is terrible. Then.
Yes. Yes. Like I say, definitely. If it's if you're immunocompromised, what that means is you have you can't fight infection the way that your body should. That's definitely something. That's very highly recommended.
All right. So I know a lot of the flu vaccine is not available yet. What's timing? Good timing as far as getting that vaccine goes.
We like to shoot for, you know, the end of October, kind of wrapping up everybody getting immunized with the flu vaccine.
How about the flu mist? I know there's been some talk about that may or may not be available for everyone this year. Does that work too?
The flu mist does. Yeah, it does work. But like I say, I've been trying to kind of research on what's available with it and whatnot, but according to the CDC, it looks like so far it's been more of just your IM injections.
All right. How about an egg allergy? If you've got that, is the flu vaccine still a possibility for you?
Yes, the flu vaccine is still a possibility. Like I say, according to the CDC, there is an additional different version of the flu vaccine that is available for persons with egg allergies.
So is it just important to, hey, reach out to your primary care and talk to him or her and find out what's best for you?
Yes, yeah. I mean, like I say, because I've worked ER, you know, for so many years, and we just get so bombarded with flu cases, you know, I think it would be the best case scenario for any patient, you know, contact your primary care because we may just call in, you know, the prescription for you if we're in peak flu season. You wouldn't even have to, you know, come in or anything, get out of bed even.
Well, so, you mentioned Tamiflu too. Is that available over the counter or is that a prescription?
That is a prescription. Tamiflu is a prescription.
All right. Is there anything symptomatically you'd recommend over the counter for folks?
Well, of course, yeah. You definitely need to treat, first of all, the fever, you know, with Tylenol, ibuprofen, that type of stuff, unless, you know, they can't take those medications, but one of those medications would be preferred to treat your fever. You can pick up anything over the counter, you know, anything that says, you know, multi-symptom relief, cold relief, anything like that. Make sure you follow the label instructions and take it accordingly.
How about preventative stuff? I know, and again, this will date me, and I don't know how old you are, Trent, but Mom always told us, too, back in the early 70s, you need to bump up that vitamin C during flu season.
Well, I don't know if it's so much that, but it's hand washing. Just common wash your hands and avoid, you know, during the flu season, avoid touching your face, because that's kind of where that virus gets in. You know, if you've got your hands contaminated with the flu virus and you go to rub your eyes, you know, that's how you get that virus.
Does that turn into pink eye?
No, it you will end up with the flu.
Well, and even something as simple, and my boss just left the room so I can say it, but if you got this stuff, should you stay home?
You should definitely stay home. If you go out in the public, you are definitely, you know, exposing everyone else to that virus.
All right, we're at 8 minutes away from 10 o'clock, and this is the MRMC Doctor's Office Program. Trent Link is with us, a nurse practitioner in Salisbury. He's got a background in emergency medicine as well. How about the pneumonia vaccine, too? Does that come into play, or should it come into play at all this time of year?
Yes, I do think that the pneumonia vaccine should come into play. We do ask, you know, our patients that they do present to our clinic. We do offer that, that vaccination as well if you need it.
So who is that right for?
That would be, you know, basically more the elderly population, 65 and older.
How about if you've had had pneumonia earlier?
If you've had pneumonia in the past, you know, it may be an option. You know, like I say, it's more recommended for patients 65 and older.
Okay. Trent Link is our guest, and as we got just a few minutes left in the program, can you kind of go over the difference, Trent, between what we consider maybe a respiratory ailment, the flu, and, say, the common cold?
Well, yeah, like I said before, the cold is more, you know, it's just a gradual, it's just very gradual. It takes, you know, several days for you to start feeling worse and worse and worse. Like we discussed earlier, the flu hits you in the middle of the night just so suddenly. It's very abrupt. And, you know, with that fever, you're going to have a really, you know, you're have a really high fever. You're going to just... body aches, and one distinguishing characteristic that I see a lot with the flu is that patients often do complain of a headache, and that's very important to point out that, you know, that usually goes along with the flu rather than a cold.
And that's probably not your typical "oh, my head hurts" kind of thing, is it?
No, it's a pretty bad headache. And there, you know, of course, we talk about the flu, and you know, the media kind of swirls it up and gets it into. I don't mean any offense by you, since you're a person in the media, but the flu is causing people to die and things like that. What happens there is, you know, the flu, the virus just weakens the body, and it ends up causing, you know, the body to go be more vulnerable to like a bacterial infection and whatnot. And that's when you get the complications of like what we call pneumonia and sepsis and those types of things. So when we talk about the flu, you know, I've went over the basic symptoms of the flu, but if you're someone that's developing, you know, severe difficulty breathing, blue or pale skin color, or very, very weak, or you're not wanting to eat, or you're not keeping fluids down, those are all warning signs that you probably do need to go to an ER at that point.
Yeah, I'm guessing the best piece of advice would be, if you're not sure and you're concerned, get looked at.
Correct. Correct. Very correct.
All right, so how long does a flu season typically last? Because I know we had a physician on a couple of weeks ago saying, hey, it's not your typical flu, too, because it's longer, it's coming during weird times, it's even being brought in from outside the country.
Yes, I mean, the flu, it seems to be picking up, it's starting to pick up for, you know, now here in September. And I believe last year we had cases, you know, stringing up, I think up into March or April of last year. So I think it is kind of hanging around a little bit longer. And the peak times have kind of varied, you know, as far as when that peak season is. You know, I think I've been through so many flu seasons. I think one year it was the peak was in like February or something like that. And then a year before that, it was like December or something like that.
All right. If folks are interested in getting a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that, Trent? Because I know you'd like to meet some more folks in the area, wouldn't you?
They can call up Sheraton Valley Family Medicine here in Salisbury, Missouri.
All right. And you're taking new patients, I imagine?
Yes, I am.
All right. Hey, Trent, thanks so much for being with us today. We'll have to do this again sometime. This has been terrific talking with you.
Same to you.
All right. Thank you so much. Trent Link, nurse practitioner in Salisbury. He's joined us today on the MRMC Doctor's Office program.